Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form 10 Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Well, hello, everyone. It's Wolverine here, still filling in for Professor Gary Lee. So we would appreciate continued prayers on that part for the professor. He is recovering, but as always, you know, it takes a lot of time after a stroke. So, you know, just keep sending those prayers. And also, we'd like to thank everyone that donated to the first GoFundMe. And we would like to ask everyone to go on Professor Gary Lee's page. There's another GoFundMe up there to go to that GoFundMe and try to put some money in there, because it's going to be a long, tedious process with a lot of medical bills for the professor. And he does a lot for everybody, so, you know, and keeping up with the sport karate. So we need to make sure that we do as much as we can to keep him healthy. And one thing that's going to keep him healthy is making sure his medical expenses is paid, because that's going to get expensive. I'm excited tonight. We're going to have an amazing, amazing show. We've got an amazing guest. Can't wait to bring him on. But before we do that, I would like to bring on our producer of the show, Mr. Jesse Bowen. He is also the author of the book. It's the Who's Who book. And I'm going to bring him on so he can tell you about the event that he's got coming up and how you can become a part of that. Mr. Bowen, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. Yes, sir, I am. It's been a busy week, and we're actually coming down to the end of the road. Tomorrow is the final date for the registration, and we have over 200 martial artists that we're going to be featuring in the book this year, who are sharing their stories of why they got involved in the martial arts and how the martial arts has impacted their lives. I think this is very crucial, because the stories of who we are and what we're doing, you know, are key points into making a difference in the lives of others, especially if people are coming into the martial arts and they are not knowing a lot about it and how it can impact their lives. Then everything that we're doing now and letting everyone know, this is a history book, it's a record book, the books are going to be in the libraries, they're in the bookstores, they're being used in the community, being put out at doctor's offices, fitness spas, any place that anyone is sitting that now can reach out and touch the book. That's what we're really trying to do. We've partnered with several other entities, martial arts groups, and we're really trying to promote a positive event in Vegas. But not only is it about the history of the past part of the martial arts, but we're also talking about the today, the right now part. We're going to be doing some coaching and some working with Toby Milroy and his organization. And we're setting up, so we'll have a pre-business summit to the Super Show, that we're going to have some things going on. Toby Milroy and his organization are going to be there. So we really have a lot of great groups. Grandmaster Stephen Hayes is going to be doing a class there. We just got so many great things that's happening. We're so grateful for all the martial artists that were participating, that are participating there. And Professor Gary Lee is scheduled to be one of our speakers. We're really praying and hoping. And, you know, we're going to be coming out next month is our Proud to be a Martial Arts Month. And so we're going to be really talking about and promoting not just Proud to be a Martial Artist, but also what it is being proud of being able to help people. You know, martial artists, we should be helpers, not only in the physical realm, but also the mental realm, just like with Professor Gary Lee, then the martial arts community. reaching out and helping and support everything that, you know, for him. Because, number one, I know if I was in the same situation, and he would be right here for me. So we're trying to do some things that will be able to help to support he and his family as they move through this. So tomorrow is scheduled to be the last day. So if you have not sent in your bios, then remember, time will pass you by on this opportunity. But we are working on an event coming up in Chicago in October, and we're going to provide, you know, everyone with more information on that. If you'd like to nominate someone, then go to the Who's Who in the Martial Arts website, and that is www.whoswhointhemartialarts.com, and make your nominations there. All right, sir, it's back to you.
Thank you, sir. That's a great information. You know, just for our listeners out there, I've been to, you know, I'm in the book. I'm been in a couple times in the Legends edition and different things, and in the Competitors edition. And this, it's a great event. So if you get a chance, you definitely want to go out and be a part of it. Mr. Bowen does a amazing job with the event and the book, and like I say, it is very important for keeping up with the history of martial arts and just keeping up with people in general on what they do. And, you know, there may be things that you see in that book that you go, you know what, that's something I'd like to get into, and then now you have an avenue to, you know, talk to this person and try to, get into that, you know, follow that. So next up, next order of business. In September, we have the celebrity roast of Professor Gary Lee. That's September 27th at the Hilton Galleria Hotel in Texas. And we will be having, you know, every year he has COD Awards, and you have to have won at least 100 first place to even be invited in the COD Awards. I've been lucky enough to have competed in COD Awards the last 2 years. It's an amazing, amazing event. It's overwhelming, the people that you compete against. And not only that, but he has Bubble Kumite for the kids. Now, Bubble Kumite is one of his creations, and you may not know what it is, but they cut on the bubble machine, and the kids go after those bubbles, throwing kicks and punches, receiving points for every bubble they bust, and those kids have a ball that's ran by Billy Smith, and he makes everything fun. Because he is a gentle giant, and he makes everything just fun. We also will be having, Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Museum, Sport Karate Museum, will be having the Ohana Open. The Ohana Open will be there that weekend, that competition, so be sure and register for that. Then don't miss out the Kevin Funakoshi Traditional Challenge. Now, this will be traditional forms only, and it will be broken up into their own styles. So there will be Shotokan. Shotokan people will go against Shotokan people. Shuto-ryu, Kyokushin, Wada-ryu, Gojo-ryu, Shorin-ryu. So all those different people will be going against people of their same style, picking a champion, and then those people will compete against each other for one overall champion to go into the open division, and the open division people will compete, and then they will compete against Mr. Johnny Murphy and I for an overall first place to see who will be the winner of COD Awards. So that's something that you do not want to miss. And then Hawaiian Double Whammy, turning right around in November 1st and 2nd, at Sam's Town Casino in Robbinsville, Mississippi, we'll be holding the celebrity roast of John the Giant Killer Natividad. And Mr. Natividad, he is one of Professor Gary Lee's biggest heroes. And if you've ever met Mr. Natividad, you can see why. I look up to Mr. Natividad. He is a great, great individual and has done so much for the sport, and he's just such a great person. And so we will be doing the roast for him there. So that is something that you do not want to miss. And then next week on the show, it'll be our veteran show, and I'll be announcing that guest coming up. So, but it'll be our veteran show, talking about veterans. But for right now, I want to go ahead and bring on our guest for tonight. Now, you know, I've been talking about it and hinting around to you for the past couple weeks on who was going to be coming on here. But it is the one and only Alex Zwack from Blue Blood. Alex, are you there, sir?
I'm here, sir. How are you?
I am doing great. I know that you are on the road with your lovely girlfriend, heading back, always out doing stuff, promoting the show, and going out and seeing people that, you know, are sick and in the hospital. And that's one thing people don't realize, just what all you do. So I'm really glad to have you on the show tonight, just so people can find out what all you do besides arrest people on Blue Blood. And so I'm excited to have you on the show.
Well, sir, I'm very excited to be on your show. Thank you for inviting me on the show. It's a pleasure. I see the impact you have done and continue to do in the martial arts and all these other great people you mentioned before you introduced me. I think it's essential, and I think it's important to realize the impact we have in many lives, the children and adults. And for instance, right now, myself and my girlfriend are heading back from New York, because I live in Connecticut, and we met a couple of cast members from Blue Bloods, and we visited this boy, Ray Ray, who's 9 years old, who himself is a big fan of Blue Bloods, and his mother was there and his brother, and we spent like 2 hours with him talking about different things that he likes, and we brought him NYPD t-shirts and coffee mugs, and I gave him a couple of t-shirts from the school. The smile on his face was priceless, and we didn't get no money out of it. It's not all about money. It's all about giving back to somebody who really needs it. And I think we do that as martial art instructors every day. We're on the floor teaching and instilling all these values that yourself and all these wonderful martial artists that you know that I'm friends with also do every night. And it's an honor to be on your show, Dean. Thank you.
Well, it's an honor to have you here. And, you know, to the little fella, you know, from the Wolverine, you know, if you get to talk to him again, you tell him that I give him two big thumbs up and a hoorah, just because, you know, it's awesome that you go out and do those kind of things. And that just shows what kind of an amazing person you are, because a lot of people don't take the time to go out and do that stuff and put themselves out of the way to drive and spend money to do things like that. And that's just awesome that you and some of the cast members from Blue Blood would go out and do that. That just shows your character, sir, and what an awesome person you are. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, because of that, you know. And you're still out there. You do the show, Blue Bloods, and you're still out there teaching and running your karate school. And you even take people to competitions. And you and I were talking earlier about the competition that I'm getting ready to go to this weekend and that you were thinking about coming to as well. So people, you know, just need to know that.
Yes, no, thank you, Dean. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your kind words. I would have loved to go on this weekend, but I have so many things going on. And my good friend, Mike Conroy, Coach Conroy, he'll be there with his team, K2C. I've known Mr. Conroy since we were both youngsters. He's an excellent martial artist and an excellent human being. He runs a great school, is a great coach, and I'm really proud to call him my martial art brother. So we collaborate a lot, and he's just a wonderful guy and knows his stuff in the martial arts and has given back over and over again. And he's out on the circuit, like, always. So,
Most definitely. Now, let's let the listeners at home, if you'll fill them in, because you came up under a powerhouse in the martial arts world, and oftentimes Taekwondo gets a bad rap because there's a lot of places that, you know, teach Taekwondo and they give out a lot of belts. They're belt factories. They do things. But you came up under a powerhouse, and anybody that would think that Taekwondo is not for fighting or whatever, if they had to run into this man, I'm telling you, it would have changed their life because his hands were like sledgehammers. So I'll let you tell them who you trained under and when you got started and all that kind of good stuff.
I trained under Grandmaster Hyo Cho, living legend, next to Bruce Lee. More publications is him on the magazine cover. He was second to Bruce Lee. I learned so much from him. Yeah, his hands were like stone. Try holding wood for him, and he kicked it. Your hands would be black and blue, even though he'd go through it. He was when I first started training, I started training with a gentleman in Connecticut, Grandmaster Tehi Lee. And I achieved my black belt and first degree from him. And then what happened was he had to relocate and take care of some personal business. And then I looked up Grandmaster Hyo Cho, because everybody who's anybody in the martial arts, who's anybody, knows who he is. And then, of course, he wanted to know my background and see my certificates. And we talked, and he had me come out there. And then the rest is history. I've done quite a few magazine issues with Grandmaster Cho, his video library that he videoed and is in many magazines I'm on. When I started training with him, he really was a visionary. He incorporated boxing techniques into the curriculum, not just spinning back kick or turning back kick, spinning knife hands. He's throwing overhand rights into back kick. I mean, stuff that a lot of traditionalists would never do. And I really gravitated to that. He kind of like went to the beat of his own drum. He had his black belts wear black uniforms, where many Taekwondo practitioners wear white. And you could wear white, but he wanted to stand out and he wanted to be different. His advanced belts wore brown, wore red uniforms. Him throwing boards in the air and doing spinning back hook kicks while they're in the air and kicking tennis balls, that's where I learned that from. Blindfolded, jumping back, turning kick was his signature move. He's impacted me so much in the martial arts, but also as an individual. I mean, I'm honored to call him my instructor. I traveled to England and Ireland and did seminars and demonstrations with him. I mean, if it wasn't for him, I don't think I definitely wouldn't be where I am today. And I have much love and respect for him, and I'm very grateful. So.
Yeah, he had an amazing jump turning back kick. I mean,
He split back in half. He destroyed people with the jump turning back kick. It's the way he described even how to do a back kick, the straight back kick. You know, I know a lot of folks, you know, if you're going to kick with your right leg, they're taught to, you know, take your left foot and step over. He was said, never do that because you're telegraphing it. Just pivot, turn, and kick. I mean, everything was very dynamic, very precise, very practical. He'd try to get away from. He was very traditional in his philosophy, in his way of thinking. But as far as training, he used to say, we can't train like we did years ago. We have to evolve. If we did the same thing like we did years ago, like, say, a train going from one place to another, it'd take forever. You have to evolve. If you can make things better, faster, quicker, it's all better for your students. He always used to say, your students will benefit more out of it. So that's why, you know, some traditionalists I know frowned upon that, but he was more practical, more realistic, and he didn't do his techniques very robotic. It was very natural and bouncy, and he's firing like front leg kicks, back leg kicks, jumping kicks, overhand rights, spinning knife hand strikes, rich hands. I mean, it was amazing. And to be on the floor with him and in class with him, and then just me and him training together on the floor, was something that I cherish and remember forever. It's just awesome.
Right, because his sparring methods with mixing, you know, a lot of people think that Taekwondo is just kicks, and when they look at it, they look at Olympic-style Taekwondo, and
exactly.
They see the guys not throwing hand punches. But Grandmaster Cho would light people up with all kinds, but his boxing skills would be mixed with hard Taekwondo hand strikes, and then followed up with those kicks, or kicks followed up with that. So it wasn't like regular Taekwondo, and that's what made it so powerful and made him stand out. And that's what a lot of people, you know, if they had the mistake of Taekwondo is like Olympic style, if you run into somebody that trained with Grandmaster Cho, such as yourself, or that had that same philosophy or tried to follow his philosophy, you're going to have a bad day, because the kicking prowess and arsenal that he had and that Taekwondo has is going to put you out, because you can reach your opponent first. But then when you combine that with the hand techniques of boxing and then mix those with, you know, spinning ridge hands, spinning pseudo strikes, spinning
right.
back fists, and put the martial arts strikes in there, you're really elevating your game in the sparring method. It was not regular Taekwondo sparring that most people would think.
You are 100% spot on. That's why he wrote that book, The Complete Martial Artist. He always said you want to be a complete martial artist. You have to adapt his hand techniques, leg techniques. You should know techniques from the ground if you were in that type of situation. He was always thinking of what is best for my student, because, you know, like you said, WTF style, they were always kicking off their back leg. They hardly used their hands. I never understood that. Tai stands for kicking with the feet, punching with the fist. Do means art, but they didn't use their hands. So Heel Cho incorporated the hands and the feet, knee strikes, elbow strikes, kicking with your shin, techniques from the ground, everything and anything. So you are a complete martial artist, and you're more well-rounded. And then you fire those hand techniques, and then you come in with a kick, and then come in with a right, cross, left hook. It lights out. That's how we fought.
Right.
That's how we were trying to fight. Yeah.
Right, and a lot of people don't realize that not only did he condition his hand for striking, but his elbows, his knees, and his feet. He really conditioned. So if you got hit with any of that, you were getting hit with a hard weapon.
Oh, yeah. It was like getting hit with like a lead pipe. He was just so powerful and so strong. I see him kick bags coming off the hook, back swinging left and right. The thing is with Heel Cho was he didn't just teach you how to kick. He used to say, what good is it to kick high if you have no power and speed behind it and you're off balance? Better off for you to kick a little bit lower with proper technique. That way your technique will be more effective, okay? So he would blast the kicks in. And now, don't get me wrong, he can kick high. But he kick you in the rib cage, in the stomach, it is over. And that's what I tell my students, too, because, as you know, everybody's flexibility is different, okay? And some people think Taekwondo, everything has got to kick high. No, just put on a match on TV. These guys are kicking each other in the shin, in the thigh, I mean, in the side of the knee, inner thigh, outer thigh, and then blasting you in the midsection. Look at Raymond Daniels. It's turning back kick to your stomach. You send the guy flying through the other side of the ring, okay? But you can also kick high. But what I'm saying is some people get discouraged. They don't want to do it because they think they're going to have to kick high. You don't have to kick high. Kick as high as you can. Low kicks are really effective also. Now, if you go by the WTF style, which is fine, to each his own, but like we said, they don't use much hands. What if you don't have the flexibility? So now you got kicks, you got hands, you got the whole package. And that's what how I tend to teach and run my classes, just like I did with Grandmaster Joe. So, and he adapted some sort of WTFs, like shuffle step and stuff like that, but he wasn't a big fan. And like even when we do our forms, our katas, our young, we don't zig in and zig out. We just step forward. He said, now I'm not knocking that. If you taught that way, that's fine. You do it that way. But his theory was fastest way from one point to another is straight line. And then you had different ITF practitioners. When you do riding horse stance and punch, they do like the sine wave, up and down movement. He said, that's really not practical. Fastest way from one point to another is like a bullet coming out of a gun, straight. And then, you know, he said, if punching from the side of your belt was so popular, how come when you put on a kickboxing match, no one is punching from the side of their belt in the ring? Because it's not as effective of standing like a boxer. So that's all the things I learned from him. Also, I learned is that whatever style you do and whatever way your instructor is taught you, you do it that way. But if someone comes into your studio, a martial art dojo studio, whatever you want to call it, they have to adapt to how you do it. But you don't have to say anything negative about how they do it, because that's how that they were taught. But you don't change for anybody. Right. This is your house. This is how we do it. And if they are not fond of that, then they don't have to train there anymore. You can't adapt like, well, this person just likes to do self-defense. This person wants to do sport karate. This person, that's what was great about Master Joe, was that he incorporated everything. So that's why, you know, I have my students going to tournaments, doing sparring, doing forms, doing weapons, so on and so forth. So, again, you're a complete martial artist. Yep.
Right. He trained a lot like Wong Kuk Lee did. You know, it was hardcore, not just Olympic style stuff. And
that makes a huge difference. Yeah, he was hardcore, as hard as nails. And it was great sitting with him and him talking to me about different ways of, like, even like he'd say, when you're doing demonstration and breaking, never mind, you know, like some folks, they measure up like 10 times. Why are you measuring up 10 times? Just 1, 2, and then break it. You know, you're like touching the board like 10 times. Everybody's like, really? 1 time, 2 time, boom. And like my first instructor used to say, techniques have to be 1, 2, 3, finish. Even with heel toes, jumping back, turning kick, he said always like, wait, blindfolded, wait, let the build up, and then just do it. You know, and that's how he was. He had a lot of charisma. Master Cho has a lot of charisma. He was a bit different than a lot of other instructors that were out there. And no disrespect to them, but, you know, he just was different. You know, it's like he was like in music. If you looked at somebody that came out like a Queen or an Alice Cooper or a Kiss, he was like different. But it was still rock and roll. But he was Taekwondo, and he kind of like did it his way, but was very, very with the philosophy and discipline. We always said at the end of class, modesty, courtesy, integrity, perseverance, self-control, and noble spirit. He had us learn the meanings of the forms and movements. What does Taekwondo aim to achieve? Taekwondo pledge. We have to write an essay about what black belt means to me. What's his achievements in Taekwondo? We had to recite the kicks in the English and Korean, upchuggy, yupchuggy, doryochuggy, low block, hadanmaki, jundan, all this kind of stuff. He never got away from that, even though he was very ahead of his time, where a lot of instructors were shied away from certain things. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to still do it like we did hundreds of years ago. Certain things you could do, but other things you need to evolve. You know, let's look at our cell phones. If we still looked at our cell, when I got my first cell phone, it looked like a shoebox. With all the stuff you can do on a cell phone now, is you can do everything. So, he was. I was very blessed to be able to train with him. Yeah.
Right. So I know a lot of people are going to be wanting to also hear about your acting background and what all you do there. So if you want to tell the listeners a little bit about what you do there, because you work on an exciting show with the Wahlbergs and stuff, so it's pretty amazing stuff you do there also.
Yeah, no, thank you, sir. I've been working on Blue Bloods for all 9 seasons now. I portray an undercover detective. I work with Donnie Wahlberg and Tom Selleck and Bridget Moynihan, and I primarily work with Donnie Wahlberg in the squad room with a few other wonderful people that play NYPD officers and detectives, and I portray undercover detective. The cast, the crew, the directors, the assistant director, Joe Aspamonte, hair, wardrobe, everybody is wonderful. I'm very blessed to be working on that show for that many years, and we just got picked up for season 10. And it's interesting because I was always interested in the acting, but when I went out and started training with Master Cho, he was the one that really pushed me to do it because he did some acting himself. He was in the movie Best of the Best with Eric Roberts and James Earl Jones in the Ring Brothers. And he said, you have a unique kind of look. You should really look into it. So I followed through, and I took pictures, and I sent them out to various casting agents and so on and so forth. But at the beginning, I didn't know exactly my character, meaning that, you know, I thought every picture has to look like, a soap opera person. And I did some soap operas, but that wasn't my character. I was more of an edgy type of character. What I mean by that was I get a lot of roles like an Eastern European gangster. So I've been in all 3 John Wicks. Actually, the new John Wick movie's coming out Thursday, Friday. I played Eastern European gangster in the movie The Drop with James Gandolfini. I get a lot of those kind of roles, this tough guy, edgy kind of role. But if you get to know me, that's not exactly how I am. People say, you're really not like your character. But I have a manager and I have agents that pitch me for different TV shows and movies. And I do different appearances. I went to this place the last week and did like a meet and greet and met people and signed pictures for them and took pictures with them. But Blue Bloods is something near and dear to my heart. When you work with people that often for that many years, they're not just coworkers, they're family. And that's what we are. Donnie Wahlberg is a super, super nice guy. And everybody on the show is just wonderful, and it's a pleasure to be a part of.
Right, yeah, I know, you know, kind of what you're talking about because, I was in the Warrior movie with Joel Edgerton and Tom Harding and Nick Nolte, and, you know, all the people in the cast, we still talk to this day, that movie.
Yeah, Tom Hardy's a great guy. He's the guy I worked with James Gandolfini in the movie The Drop. I mean, these guys that you're talking about are just, like, super cool guys. And ladies, too. They're wonderful.
Right, yeah. I actually got voted best accent on the set of The Warrior, but for my southern accent. Now, most of the time when I, audition for any movies, because I do some movie work on the side, too, I've not got to the level you have. But when I do audition, people are like, man, that southern accent, what's up with that? And I'm like, well, that's just, that's just how you have to have it. So
that's how you have it, too. But you got a great look, too. When I first met you, I was like, wow, man, that dude is cool looking, right? I was like, he should do something. And now, you're telling me you do all this stuff. That's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I just actually the people that are over the movie The Favorite, it is a Christian movie. The director just called me today. We finished that up. They called me late in the movie, and I came out and worked with John Snyder and was in a scene with John Snyder and Den Thomas and all from the USC. And I, you know, I went in and I, these guys were beating up John Snyder and I played the security guy and I come in and take the guys out. And it was funny because when I did it, I just, the guy that was the stunt coordinator, he just said, you just go in and do it. Just get him off of him, you know. So I said, okay.
Right.
I talked to Den Thomas. I went in, and when I shoved Den back, he kind of pushed back. And when he did, I just spun him up, put him in a lock, and just drug him out. Well, he comes back in, and he was like, that looked like you were a Navy SEAL. You busted in the room and jacked him up so quick. So then John Snyder comes running in and says, y'all got to come see this and watch this playback on the gate. It is amazing. So they left it in there. So they had just called me today talking about it because they're pushing that film and they're going from coast to coast and putting in a lot of churches and things like that because it was a gospel thing. So hopefully one day the Wolverine will get out from stunts and get to do some more stuff in that. And I'm not going to give up on that. Right now I'm competing, but hopefully I can get out there and do some things like you do. So I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, you know, sir, if you ever, you know, need whatever in that area, just let me know. And, you know, a lot of times this is a brotherhood, and everybody should try to help each other. So if ever there's anything I can do for you in that area, just give me a holler, and I'm there. Got it.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So you can tell Donnie Wahlberg and them, they ever need a southern dude that's about 6 foot tall that can do karate, you just let me know. I can get arrested good. For some reason, because I got beat up by my daughter all over the world and then went to America's Got Talent and she beat me up, a lot of people want to beat me up in movies. But here lately I've got to play some parts where I get to do the beating up instead of get beat up. So that's been a lot better for me, but
That's awesome.
That's what they wanted to do. They're like, hey man, he gets beat up so good. So hopefully I can kind of switch that role around, you know, and maybe get it going the other way.
Flip
the script as you will. Yeah. And get that rolling the other way. But I know a lot of people love that show, The Blue Bloods, and I know that it's like you say, it's got to be doing great because they just keep bringing it back year after year. And I also know, you look like a Russian assassin, so I can see why they keep putting you in those places and making people go, hey, man, this dude's a Russian, and he's bad to the bone. So that, you know, I can see that. So I know people are excited about that show. So it's got to be kind of like MASH. It's a show that everybody looks forward to coming out season after season.
Well, that's funny you bring that up because I just was telling someone the other day that it's kind of like MASH. And however long Blue Bloods lasts, you know, whenever the time comes that it's over, it'll be remembered like MASH. And I'll always be linked to Blue Bloods, and I'm very proud of that. And I don't take it for granted. I know how many people would love to be in my position and be on Blue Bloods and work with Donnie Wahlberg and all these other wonderful people. So it's interesting you brought up MASH because it's kind of like the same thing. And yeah, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, you're definitely right. No matter how long it lasts, it's definitely going to be one of those shows that are continuously replayed and never forgotten, and nor will the cast be forgotten. And you know, and the good thing about the show is it's positive, you know, and you guys show a positive light.
You're a positive light. People like the dinner scene with the family. You got Tom Selleck on the show, who's an American icon. You got Donnie Wahlberg, Bridget Moynihan, you know, Robert Colessi, who's a great guy who was in the Avengers, and he used to be on Hill Street Blues. You have a real powerhouse cast, but it's family-oriented, and they gear towards that, and it's all positivity. You don't see any scantily stuff going on Blue Bloods, nothing like that. You haven't seen that in 9 years. I think that's why people relate to it, and they can identify with that, and they feel like, because I interact with the fans, and a lot of my cast members do, they feel like they're a member of the family. That's what they always say. We feel like we're a member of the family. And that's just awesome when you hear that. And that's what it is. It's one big Blue Bloods family.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I think that's why so many people like the show, is because they feel like that when they're watching the show, they feel like they're actually part of it, and they look forward to it, and they feel like when you guys come back on that they're family members coming back on, and they kind of connect with the people on the show in a way that they feel like you were saying, like, man, you know, this is my family. I got to get in here and watch this, you know, because I got to see what we're doing this week. You know,
right. Yeah, I hear that all the time. It's like we feel like we're part of the family. They have a Blue Bloods fan page, like a lot of shows do, and I'm part of it. And if I post something on there, be it a picture on set, they couldn't thank me enough, and the other cast members. It keeps them connected. It's just like, it's really amazing. And, you know, Donnie Wahlberg has his fans, because Donnie is touring right now with New Kids on the Block. And he has his fans from there, and then he has from Wahlburgers, and then, you know, he's married to Jenny McCarthy, and, I mean, I can go on and on with all these people. It's just really wonderful.
Right. I come very close to getting to work with Mark Wahlberg in two films, but both times they called me back and said, "You're too big," and I was like, dang it. I'm not losing any more muscle. So.
No. Be who you are. I mean, there's times where I didn't get roles. I mean, look, there was one time when I first started out, because I had longer hair and my hair is naturally curly, that they submitted me for one of those kind of like love story novel cover kind of things with Fabio kind of like deal. But they gave it to another guy because his hair was already straight, and they would have to spend time, you know, straightening my hair. So that's what it comes down to sometimes. So, you know what? I'm like, this is who I am. And, you know, if I'm right for the role, great. If not, well, you know, I'm not gonna change who I am. But, you know, like I had longer hair and I cut it because for me it was just time for a change. It was a bit played out. And you could see some pictures of me. Sometimes I have the goatee, clean shaven. But majority of the time, I go with the scruffy because it gets me a lot more work. And it works for me. The goatee didn't work too much for print work, but the scruffy does. So, you know, you use what you got and what's going to help you.
Yeah. What I enjoyed on the set of The Warrior is I played and done so much stunt fighting, and it was in so many different parts that near the end of the movie, Gavin, the producer, he looked at me and he says, "How many scenes are you actually in?" And I was like, pretty much all of them. You just got me disguised up. But I will say, I did not mind getting paid $300 just to shave. And they would be like,
"Oh yeah,
you need a beard." And I'd grow a beard. Then they'd say, "Oh, we need to shave you." And I'd be like, "Okay, you just told me to grow a beard." And they'd be like, instead of having you do it, they're like, "Nope, go to a wardrobe. They'll shave you." And I'm like, "Okay, roger that. Yeah, I can get, you know, I don't mind shaving for $300. I can do that all day long."
Yeah.
So
no,
that's the good part.
That, sir. Yeah, no, you're right. Like in the new John Wick, when I showed up, I had the scruffy. And they asked me, Alex, the director was wondering if you'd be willing to shave, and they pay you $300. I'll shave for $300, and I'll shave if I'm working with Keanu Reeves and John Wick. Here, shave. Go ahead. It'll grow back like in a week. It's all good.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, no kidding. That's the thing is yeah, people don't realize that, but it's fun. Except the early morning roll calls when you know you're there on set at 3 and 4 a.m. after leaving set late. But that's fun.
It's part of the deal.
A lot of people think that acting's easy, but they don't realize how early those guys start. And a lot of those times when it looks like daylight on set, it's just a bunch of lights around, and it's actually dark because it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, you're 100% correct. I mean, even like Blue Blood, say for instance, we're filming in the squad room. Like I said, I primarily are in the squad room. I do some stuff on location. I've done stuff on location, but say we're done at like 6 o'clock, they might have to do another scene on location. And they're working till 2 a.m. There's been shows and films, movies especially, that I've worked on overnight. And, you know, these people, you know, some realize it, some people don't. Early call times, so you got to get yourself together. You got to get yourself up. You got to get all your wardrobe ready and get there and so on and so forth. So, you know, they've seen the final product, but there's a lot that goes into it. And there's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes that they don't see, that a lot of people are involved with that you know of, like lighting, sound. I mean, even wardrobe and continuity. Everything has to be a certain way. Timing has to be done. You can't just go and do whatever you want, whatever way you want to do it. So, yeah, man, there's a lot that goes into it.
Right, yeah, and people don't realize that wardrobe also means the way you look. So you have to go in if you're playing a fighter and you're supposed to be in great shape. You can't halfway through the movie put on some weight. Wardrobe means if you're going to be in some MMA shorts or whatever they're putting in, you've got to still look that part. So not only do you have to get the early call times, but you have to make sure you still have time to hit the gym and eat right and keep your body and appearance up, you know.
I agree.
Because like
you
say, everything is continuity.
Everything is continuity. I think for us, I feel like the martial arts instills discipline, self-control, the structure. I think, you know, Master Cho used to say this, how you expect your students to have discipline and self-control if you don't have it yourself? You know, you have to lead by example. And I believe, too. That's why, you know, I hit the gym. I still active training. I enjoy all sorts of food, but everything in moderation. But I'm really disciplined. So, you know, the students see me, and I feel like I'm in fairly good shape. And they're more motivated. If I'm, you know, got my stomach is hanging out all over the place, not really motivating for them to train, how are they going to believe me if I don't have any self-control or discipline? But those people come to me and you to help them gain discipline. And this is what I wanted to touch upon, too, is like with bullying and so on and so forth. This whole thing is getting out of control. You shouldn't look at someone because they look a little bit different than you, or maybe chubby, or a different skin color, or their hair is different, or they want to wear an earring through their nose or ear or whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, those are people. You should, rather than I tell the kids, do the right thing. If you see someone bothering someone, then you should stick up for that person. Don't go and join in on picking on that kind of person. Be a leader. Don't be a follower. So, yeah, the main thing is if you are overweight, you got to feel good about yourself and if you're overweight. But as we know, being overweight isn't maybe most healthiest thing for you. Let me and you help you benefit your health, okay? And, you know, everybody's caught up in how they look and so on and so forth. But you have to be health conscious, your heart, your kidneys, and all this other kind of stuff. So let us as martial artists help you learn the martial arts, also how to defend yourself, but also to improve your overall health. And when you feel healthy and you feel then you feel more better about yourself. And a lot of people are too quick to judge people. A lot of people battle anxiety and depression, and then sometimes they overeat or they don't have no self-control. They need help. You can't just throw them to the wayside. And that's where I think myself, yourself, and all those instructors you mentioned before I came on, that's what we try to do. We try to help you gain discipline. You can control yourself, control your self-control. We're taught in the martial arts is control your emotions, your impulses. But sometimes it's really hard for people to do that because they have different kind of like things going on. Maybe they have pain in their heart. Maybe they have pain in their head. And for one person, it's easier to develop self-control. But for someone else, it's not. And you can't just tell them, well, get over it. They can't. So you got to try to help them. So I think by us as being in a leadership position, try to maintain a certain lifestyle, not to say that someone that's overweight is not a good martial art instructor. You know, sometimes they might have issues themselves, and maybe, you know, they're going through some difficult times. So it's really hard to, you don't want to judge somebody just on their appearance. I tend to judge someone for what's in their soul, and if they need help, try to become more healthy, then I'll help them. And I think that's what we do with kids too. You know, some kids are a little more chubby, and then the chubby kids always get picked on, or the little skinny kids get picked on, or the kid that looks a little bit gets picked on. I don't go for that at all. I believe in being yourself. If you want to have purple hair, then have purple hair. If you're chubby, you're chubby. And don't make fun of the kid that's chubby or someone that maybe has a hand. I remember I had two kids that lived in the neighborhood. They were March of Dimes kids, and nobody wanted to play with them till my sister and I started playing with them. Then everybody started playing with them. So I think leading by example. Because sometimes people won't make the first move. I'm the type that I'll do it because I feel it's the right thing to do. It's just in my heart to do it. So that's where, you know, I'm coming from. And I think, you know, a lot of these martial artists, sometimes they forget you're not the only martial artist out there. Everybody, you know, pounds their chest sometimes, certain ones. I know so many great martial artists. You know, I met you. I talked about Mr. Conroy. I know Don Rodriguez, Cynthia Rodriguez, I mean, Don Wilson, Chuck Norris, Bill Wallace, all my martial art friends up in Rhode Island, Mr. Mike Burton. And, I mean, I can go on and on and on. These people and ladies, Rick Diaz and Sue Diaz, Julio Lugo, Scotty Kenshin, I mean, I can go on and on, are out there, and they're all great martial artists, but they're impacting them in a positive way and, you know, helping them become more confident in themselves. So, you know, some of these martial artists, sometimes they think it's, you know, it's just them. No, there's tons of other people that are doing a great job out there too, and they should be acknowledged. I'm grateful to have trained with a living legend. I'm fortunate to be on TV and people see me. But there's other people that have a school in some small town that are doing exactly what I'm doing, and I think they should get the recognition too.
Yeah. Right, and that's another reason that Mr. Bowen is doing the book and doing that, and you're absolutely right. Leading from the front is what I call it, and I try to make sure that I lead from the front with my students and show my students that, you know, if I can get in and exercise, if I can put in the work and compete and do that kind of stuff, that they can too, and you know, it just builds for a better class, and I want my students to look at me and go, well, you know, my instructor's not slacking off, so
exactly.
you're 100% right. And I think that would also, it helps cut down on bullying if people feel better about themselves. You know, most of the time bullies are just people that don't feel good about themselves, so they try to belittle someone else to feel better. So as, you know, we instruct people in the martial arts, make them feel good about their bodies, make them feel good about themselves. A lot of times we don't even know it, but we just stopped somebody that may have ended up being a bully. We just kept them from ending up being a bully because now they feel good about themselves.
I agree, it's very important. Yeah, I think it's extremely important. You know, sometimes I get like different boys come in and they got a little attitude. So, you know, they need a little, like my instructor used to say, they need a little education. So, you know, you got to put them in check and give them an attitude adjustment. And I just flat out tell them, you're not going to get far in life being like that, thinking you're a know-it-all.
Exactly.
Even like in class when we do, you know, you do the same thing. We might have two lines, three lines, five in a line, or, you know, 30 kids,
right,
10 in a line. And, you know, who wants to cut the other person off and be first? I'm like, no, let the other person go. That's being polite and respectful. Why do you got to be first? I know sometimes you do it, and we do it according to belt level, so on and so forth. But you always got one kid trying to scooch in and, like, push the other kid behind. No, no, no. Now you're acting like a bully. Now you're being like
exactly
a little wise guy. Little wise guys. Wise guys are not going to get far in life. You got to be more a gentleman, and you'll get farther.
Yep, exactly. Well, we're going to take this next few minutes, and we're going to play what Professor likes to call the Legends Name Game. So I'm just going to throw out some names, some of the people you've already talked about, and just 2 minutes, just quickly throw out some stuff that highlights, you know, this person to you and how you good you feel about it. So we'll start off with Mr. Mike Conroy.
Mike Conroy is like a brother. I know I can call on him for anything. Great martial artist, great coach, just an all-around great guy.
Right, and then your powerhouse instructor, Grandmaster Cho.
Legend. Martial art living legend. That's all just grateful to him and blessed that I had the opportunity to train with him. I've learned so much. Just a pure, just icon.
Yeah. He is, and he's a beast too. And what about Chuck Norris?
Chuck Norris, a gentleman, you want to talk about a complete martial artist, humble, unassuming. Bad to the bone in the ring, fighter, but just a pure gentleman. Much respect for Chuck Norris. You don't hear many people bad things coming out of the Chuck Norris camp. And he's been around for a long, long time. Nothing.
Right,
all good.
For sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Now, this next gentleman, I call him Uncle Bill, but Grandmaster Bill Wallace.
Grandmaster Bill Wallace, another gentleman. Just an awesome, awesome gentleman. Just tough as nails, kind heart, and funny as heck. You gotta love Uncle Bill Wallace. I mean, he's just awesome. What a great guy. I mean, he's just so nice to everybody, and he's so humble and unassuming. It's just, I just love him. Yes, Bill Wallace.
Definitely. Now, these next two people, they just had a competition. I was just up there at their competition, and I got to spend a little time with one of my friends, Michael DePasquale and Chuck Zeta.
Yep.
I'll be seeing probably both of these people this weekend, and I'm hoping that I have Christine as a judge because, you know, no matter what place she gives me or what she scores me, I know she's going to be fair. But Don Rodriguez and Christine Bannon Rodriguez.
Don and Christine Rodriguez, Bannon Rodriguez, I've known for years. Much love and respect for them both. Don Rodriguez is a powerhouse in the martial arts. He's impacted the martial arts in so many different ways, very influential. His lineage stands on his own. Christine Bannon Rodriguez, probably, if not one of the best world-renowned women martial artists that we have is like a treasure. Just wonderful people. When Don Rodriguez and Christine say, Alex, your family, that hits you right in the heart. And I'm
right.
Glad to call them my friends. And you mentioned Michael DePasquale. He's an excellent martial artist, a gentleman, just an awesome person. And I've met Chuck Zito a couple of times. He's always very friendly, very nice. And, they're just all great guys. But Don and Chris, they always treat me great when I go to their tournaments and my students. I can't say enough good things about them both and their students, too. You know, I was always brought up, your students are a reflection of your instructor. Well, apple didn't fall too far from the tree, those two individuals. It's very influential in the martial arts.
Sure. Yeah, that's for sure. Now, this next guy, actually, at one time, his profile picture was a picture of him and I standing I think it was Alan Goldberg's event, getting ready to give a seminar, but Don Wilson.
Don Dragon Wilson. He reminds me of Chuck Norris's personality. He's just an awesome martial artist, always humble and unassuming. Like so down to earth, is friendly to everybody. Just the utmost respect for him and his accomplishments in the ring, and then in the acting business along with Chuck Norris. That's an awesome guy, and his brother too, James Wilson, is just a really wonderful gentleman.
Right. Yeah, both those guys are good guys, and like you say, they're humble and nice.
Yeah, they're just really nice guys. Yeah.
Right, okay, and then the last one, Daniel Bernhardt.
Daniel Bernhardt and I trained with Master Cho in Santa Monica. Daniel Bernhardt, if you don't know who he is, in John Wick 2, played the villain in the fight scene with Keanu Reeves. Just a really awesome guy, excellent martial artist. He played also in Bloodsport. I forget which one. He took the part from Van Damme. Van Damme didn't do it. I think it was one of the later ones. I forgot how many there were even. But he played in the Bloodsport, maybe 4 or whatever it was, with Heel Cho. Heel Cho played the judge in a match. And that was the one that Daniel Bernhardt was. Just a really sweet guy, just a nice guy. And got a lot going on. He's just an excellent martial artist, really doing a lot of cool stuff.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Alex, that pretty much wraps up our time. But I want to tell you, brother, it has been an amazing time talking to you. I know that our listeners have to be excited because they got a lot of info, they got to hear a lot of information, and, you know, a lot of them are probably very excited because they're a big fan from Blue Bloods as well, so they're probably excited that they got to just sit in and hear an interview, and not only that, but talk about how much the fans actually mean to the cast of Blue Bloods probably makes them even more excited to know that not only that they watch the show, but that how appreciated they are by yourself and the other cast members.
Well, I hope they enjoyed it. I think they did. It was a pleasure and honor to be on your show. Again, I admire what you're doing and continue your success, and much love and respect coming to you from me. And good luck this weekend. And
Thank you, sir.
Hopefully we'll cross paths soon.
Yeah, hopefully so. And hopefully maybe we can end up being on the same TV show or movie together sometime. That'd be good. They need some Russian people and some Southern people together in a movie. I think it'd be good.
We should make up our own. You know, we'll have like a Southern Eastern European kind of like movie. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that'll work. We could have a Russian, like some kind of, European type guy come over, and then he has to have his partner is this Southern redneck type guy,
well,
and then we go after some bad guys.
Get like Mikey Pasquale in there, get the Italian side of it, and Chuck Zito, and then we can get like multicultural kind of thing going on. I think that'll work.
I think we're on to something. We need to talk to some writers. We'll probably have a good thing there.
I agree.
Well, Alex, I tell you what, sir, it has been awesome getting to talk to you. I've really enjoyed being able to talk to you because, you're just an awesome guy all the way around.
Thanks.
And that's why I wanted to bring you on the show. Just to let people know that not only, are you a great actor, but that you're a great martial artist, and not only that, but a great person, going out visiting, kids and that are sick and fans and things. That's what people need to realize is just, and that's one reason I wanted to bring you on. So people would realize what all you do and take the time out to do as a martial artist, and also give new people, beginners, people coming into the sport that may be listening, or coming into the martial arts that may be listening, give them guidelines to see, man, this is what the guys do that have been around and put in work and put in time, see what they can accomplish, but not only what they can accomplish, but how they give back and how they treat other people. And that is what's so amazing, and that's why I wanted to bring you on the show, so people realize, hey, it's not just about what I can accomplish, but it's about how I react to other people and what I do to give back and how I treat people. And I want to thank you for what all you do, sir.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, sir. I'm very humbled by your words, and I think all of us together, you just make an impact and try to help people and influence them in a positive way. And, I always call it guilty by association. Be aligned with positive people like yourself and the people I mentioned and you mentioned, because we're all doing the same thing. And the end goal is to impact people and influence them in a positive way and make them feel better about themselves. And it's not only about kicking and punching. It's about empowering them in a positive way. So, but thank you again. It was a pleasure.
Right.
It really was. I've been on other shows, and this was just so relaxing to do. I really thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. I certainly appreciate it, and I hope you and your girlfriend have a safe journey. I know you're still traveling, and I appreciate you taking time out for traveling. To call in and be on the show, but I want y'all to be safe, and hey, we don't get to see you this weekend, but like I say, we're all over, so we'll cross paths here pretty soon. So I look forward to seeing you, sir, and God bless you for everything you do, and people that you're listening out there, be sure and tune in and watch Blue Blood. So you want to tell everybody right quick before you go, what channels, what time that can they tune in and watch Blue Bloods and check that out?
Sure. It comes on every Friday night on CBS at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock Friday nights on CBS. Also, they run the Blue Blood Marathon on Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. on the ION channel, ION. So you can see Blue Bloods all day, get your full fix of Blue Bloods on Wednesdays, and they run a lot of the different seasons and episodes, and we'll begin filming again sometime in the middle of July, season 10. So tune in, and we appreciate everyone that's a fan and watching. If you're not a fan, tune in, and I'm sure you'll be hooked like many other people that never watched it before and tuned in and now can't stop watching it.
Exactly. Sir, well, you have a good night, and you have safe travels, and I will be talking to you soon, sir.
Thank you, sir. God bless, and have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.
You too, sir.
Okay,
thank you,
take care. Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you got to hear from the one and only Alex Zwack. I mean, you know, that should get you going right there. I mean, John Wick, and John Wick's getting ready to come out. So, you know, he's in that, in Blue Bloods, so be sure and check that out. But before we go, I just want to say one more time, continue to pray for Professor Gary Lee, who is at home. Professor, I love you. I'm going out this weekend to, you know, compete and you know, do what you showed me to do and lead from the front. And I just want to let you know, sir, that we're pulling for you. Everyone is pulling for you, and we love you and can't wait for you to be back. And keep in mind the roast of Professor Gary Lee in September and John Natividad in November and the AMAA radio show next week will be for vets. And not only that, make sure that you keep in mind Mr. Bowen's event coming up with the book. And he said, I think you got till tomorrow to get your this is the deadline. So get that in. And we appreciate each and every one of you. We want to say God bless to each and every one of you out there. We thank you for tuning in and listening to the show and bringing us into your homes and into your lives every Tuesday night. And I'm glad that, you know, that you are tolerant of this Southern accent, and I appreciate it 100%. And I appreciate each and every one of you tuning in and praying for Professor Gary Lee. And be sure also, please, to go online and look up the GoFundMe for Professor Gary Lee and, you know, try to help him out with whatever you can. Because those medical bills, like I say, are going to be piling up. As we all know, medical bills are expensive nowadays, especially if it's for something like a stroke. So just keep him in your prayers and, you know, talk to as many people as you can to try to go to the GoFundMe and help him out. And until next Tuesday, this is Kicking It with Wolverine and Parts Unknown with Professor Gary Lee. And we would like to say good night. God bless.